Good morning. So I had originally come up with a completely separate, I'm making a horrible habit of this, a completely separate lesson, and then decided I don't like this lesson. So I wrote a different one. And when I decided that I did not like the original lesson, I had no idea what I wanted to talk about besides that. And I saw a small, I call it a trinket, hanging on our wall. And it happens to be a ribbon from our wedding. They were at all the place settings, and on that ribbon is printed 1 Corinthians 13. So today I'd like to talk a little bit about a topic that's at the heart of our faith, living a life of love. In a world filled with division, strife, and uncertainty, we are called to be vessels of love, reflecting the love Christ showed to us in all that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." What a beautiful description of love is that? Love is not just a feely-good emotion. It's an action, a commitment. It takes hard work and intention. It is a choice we must choose to make every day, in our homes, in our workplaces, and in our communities, and in the church. We are called to embody the love explained to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But what does it mean to live a life of love? I'd like to take a look at each of the characteristics listed in that chapter. So first, let's consider the patience of love. In our fast-paced society, impatience can seep into our relationships. We often expect instant results, instant gratification, and instant responses. But love teaches us to be patient. When we choose to be patient with one another, we are acknowledging that we are all works in progress. Remember, Romans 15 and 5 tells us, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had." This means that This means that we are to extend grace to one another, always assuming the best of each other, not jumping to conclusions before we know what's really happening, allowing room for growth and understanding. This is something I have personally always struggled with. I am not a patient person, but something I pray that I do better at. Aaron tells me patience, and my general response, which isn't correct, is I'm not a doctor, I have no patience. But it's something that I need to do better with. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God, in His love, is constantly patient with us, watching us fail to live as He wants us to, but patiently loving us still, hoping we will turn from the world and choose to love Him. Next, Paul tells us that love is kind. Kindness is more than just a polite gesture or something we do as children because our parents told us to be nice. It is a deliberate choice to act in a way that promotes the well-being of others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 urges us to be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Put yourself in the shoes of others. Feel for them and treat them like you would like to be treated if you were in their place. Whenever I think of kindness, I think back to a saying I remember Mom saying all the time, and she still says it occasionally, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. Be nice. Say nice things. Be kind. Kindness breaks down barriers and builds bridges. It is a powerful tool for transformation in our relationships and in our communities. When we choose kindness, we reflect the heart of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. Psalms 145 and verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." God in His love is kind and patient with us. We should strive to emulate that love and kindness in all of our interactions. Choosing to show kindness and patience with others, even when they've done us wrong. Now let's touch on humility. It doesn't list humility, but it says that love does not boast and is not proud. The opposite of pride is humility. In a culture that often celebrates self-promotion and arrogance, we are called to demonstrate humility. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 instructs us, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." When we embrace humility, we show that we earnestly care and don't think we are better than others. We admit that we are no better than anyone else, and just like everyone else, we have done wrong, and only through God's grace are we made right. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom." Through humility, we create a space for collaboration, for understanding, and genuine connection with people. Love is not self-seeking. I find this one to be challenging as well. When trying to live a life of love, we often find ourselves caught in a web of our own desires and ambitions. What do I want? What do I want to get done? What is important to me? Society will constantly tell us to prioritize our own needs and wants. Don't worry about the other guy. Go for yourself. But love calls us to something greater. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Acts 20, verse 35, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words that Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Love compels us to seek the welfare of others. to act on their behalf, not our own, and to put their needs before our own. If we love, we shouldn't be thinking, what can I get out of this relationship? But instead, what can I give? This is the radical love that Jesus exemplified when he laid down his life for us. What did he get? We, in turn, should be willing to serve others without any thought of what we will get out of it. Instead, being glad that God has blessed us with the opportunity to help and serve those around us. Love is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. In our human relationships, it is all too easy to hold on to grudges. This person made me mad. This person upset me. When you hold on to those things, you allow anger to fester in your heart. But love invites us to forgive and to let go. Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 encourages us, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." This doesn't mean that we ignore wrongdoings. They still happened. Real love is shown when, in the face of being wronged, we willingly and purposely choose to respond with grace instead of retribution. We acknowledge and admit that no one is perfect, and we must forgive choosing to love instead of judge and retaliate. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." If our interactions are filled with and focused on love, anger shouldn't be a part of it. Finally, Paul reminds us that love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. This is the essence of unconditional love. It is not based on circumstances or emotions. It is rooted in a commitment to uplift and support one another in times of trial and tribulation. Love becomes our anchor. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love for us is never ending, and nothing can take that away from us, except for ourselves. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching." We are called to be a community that encourages and uplifts each other, embodying the love of Christ in tangible ways. So how do we live this out practically? How do we apply it? I had a few ideas. I'm sure there's more. First, start at home. Make a conscious effort to practice patience. Decide, I'm not going to fly off the handle today. To speak and act with kindness. decide to do everything you can with humility with those closest to you. Your family should be the first place where love is demonstrated. Next, volunteer. Find ways to serve in your church or community. Look for any needs you can help with and meet them with love. Practice forgiveness. Let go of past grievances. Choose to forgive even when it's hard. Choose to love others as Christ loves you. To love regardless of past wrongs, letting love cover those. Encourage others. Be intentional about uplifting those around you, whether that be through a kind word, lending a helping hand, or simply being present and available to listen to someone. Pray for love. If you don't feel like you're able to, ask God to fill your heart with His love so that it can overflow into every interaction that you may have. If your tank is running low, He can fill it up. Let our words and actions reflect the love we receive from Him. As we conclude, remember that living a life of love is not always easy, but it is always worth it. John chapter 13, verse 35 says, Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Let us be known for our love, reflecting the very heart of Christ into the world. Let us commit ourselves to living a life of love today and every day. If you don't know or would like to know the love of God, come to Him today. He loves you and has already paid the price to save you. As Matt mentioned in his Lord's table, he already bought the field. Come to Him and love Him like He loves you. Start living a life of love and service to Him. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.